is on the way. My help is on the way.
Morning, church. You guys ready for Close Encounter today? Let me hold God's right there a second.
In the darkness, I called your name. Into darkness, your mercy. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love? You bore my weakness, you took my shame, buried my burdens in fields of grace. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love? great, how great, how great is your love. How great is your love for us.
Kindness.
In your kindness, you lead me home. In your presence, will I belong. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love.
How you doing today? All right, good. God's good. Let's check you out. Let's be old Christians for a while. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah, that's a good. That's been done forever. How you doing, Wayne?
Great.
Good. Got anything?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit. So today we're doing Close Encounters, as you guys heard. Where are the old people?
How many recognize what that comes from?
I got at least two of my team
old.
That never saw the movie ever.
That's right. Two in the
you never saw the mashed potato scene, you know?
And the Devil's Mountains
exactly.
Or something? I don't know.
He built a huge structure in his living room. No
not
one knew
mashed
why.
Potatoes?
No, it's out of like yard stuff. He got wheelbarrows full of dirt and put it in his living room.
Haven Church, where you come and talk about mashed potatoes. There we go. So.
Mashed potato.
That's right. So, last week, we kind of talked about a lot, didn't we? For those of you who were with us, we've been in a series on Daniel, and we took the last six chapters of Daniel and all the Revelation and combined it in a 35, 40-minute sermon, huh? Wow, I'm still exhausted. But the main thing that we took from that, and it's been great feedback on that series. You can check it out if you missed any of it on online. But the main thing has been just that we don't have to fear because we're on the right side if we know God and we're bought by his blood, right? Right? You should be excited about that. Unless you want to stay, it's okay. If you want to stay for the tribulation, it's good. But today we're going to move on to another series, as Wayne's been talking about, Close Encounters. We're really just going to talk about something that I think we're missing out in our churches today, and that's just having a face-to-face encounter with the living God. And that's what we want to do. So today's going to be, the series is going to be kind of interesting. My mind's still on Daniel somewhat, but more importantly, we're going to talk about having an encounter with God, because that's what we all need, right? All right, so you ready to worship God some more? Let's do that with opening with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. We thank you for, number one, who you are, and we thank you for the fact of whose we are. And so, God, as we are here today, coming from all different places and times and areas, whether we are visiting, whether we've been here since this church started, or whether we're visiting or whether we're part of online a church, whatever it may be, God, we know that you have brought us here for your purpose, and that's to speak your word to us. So, God, I just ask that all those things that keep us bound in worship, those things that keep us down in our lives, be removed in the mighty name of Jesus, and may your Holy Spirit flow through this place like it never has before, so that we, too, can have a close encounter with the living God. And all God's children said, amen.
This is the power of Christ in me.
From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man
Savior's love through the storm. come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong, and the Savior's love through the storm.
When darkness tries to hide us from your face, that God, we have a Lord that conquered sin and death and has ripped down the veil, that now we can see our God face to face and we can have this close encounter, this relationship with him, because you are the cornerstone where all things come together. And that we give you praise in Christ's name. Everybody says, amen. All right. Now it's time for our kids to go to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry, and everybody else, greet one another where you're around. Say hi to somebody. What? Donna gets him in the last second. All right. In the words of Matthew McConaughey, all right. Here we go. So, how you doing? Everybody good. Welcome. If anybody's visiting with us today, welcome. Good to see everyone here. We're glad that you are just connecting with us today, whether you're here or online feed and online church. We love to have that as an option, particularly in this time of year where everybody's traveling and moving and doing all kinds of stuff. And I think there's like six, seven more weeks until Labor Day. Boo, right? Boo. The groan comes from teachers and students. There we go. All right. But if you are visiting with us, please, I hope you've received a card. If you fill that out, we have a small gift for you. Just thank you for being part of our worship, and you can take that back here. If you're joining in online, just let us know that you're connecting with us, and we're glad that you are part of our church ministry here today. Couple other things that we want to look at. In August, which is fastly approaching, believe it or not, we're still looking for a handful of other, about two to four teachers that could fill in for that month to give our Sunday school teachers a little break. And so if you'd be willing to fill in on some of those days, that would be great. And everything's there for you. Everything's set together. You just have to be a warm and willing body. And so that would work and be awesome there. Haiti mission trip update. You can see a big thank you. Last week we talked about planting trees in Haiti, and you guys responded and gave a tremendous support. That it's about $2 a tree, and you guys helped raise $465 to plant trees. So if we come back and we're like this, you'll know why. It's from your goodness and the help. So, but that will make a huge difference, huge, huge difference in the lives of a country that so needs everything. Continue to be praying for that. In addition to that, you have a, you don't have it? Okay, see this? I have it.
And Jamie has it.
Okay, next week, many of that are going on the mission trip are going to do a car wash fundraiser. And so it's going to start at 11:30, so you can line on up. Tina has been gracious to allow us to use her water and area and lots of other things. And so we'll be right down there. And if you want at 23, so just down there, you can go out, have a car wash. Maybe somebody will like have like a grass skirt on and do this around your car. I don't know. But it took you a while to figure it out, didn't it? But anyway, maybe it'll be me. No, I don't know. We're just going to ask for donations in any amount that you'd like to give. Well, we just want to go ahead and serve and help contribute even more to this because everything extra that we can do and offset cost, but more importantly, this country needs everything. And so over and above, we are gonna we're gonna give to them immensely, and we're also gonna make plans for future trips as well, because we had like a few months to get this together, and God is really blessing us through you. And remember what I said last week: this is just not about the 16 that are going. This is about our church, and by our church, that means like several hundred people who view as well, because people get online. So thank you, and keep on going. We're gonna make an impact in this world, because that's what we exist for. All right. Oh yeah. All right, very good. So what she said is if you didn't hear over there, did you guys hear over there? Okay, well, I'm going to help you out anyway. She said if you have any place you want to put it, go ahead. All right, work or anywhere else. Okay. What? Oh, yeah, okay. All right, so anyway, let's look here. Paris Foundation dinner today. Mike, we good? Awesome. We're good there. And if again, we do this every month. If you would like to help contribute to the Paris Foundation, if you don't know what that is, it's where they, everybody know where the pretzel factory is in Elkton? Everybody's like, oh yeah, I know where that is. It's right next door, and we help feed the homeless, and they do it every night. And so we take once a month. So if you'd like to connect to that, please plan on doing so. Okay? I think that's all of our announcements. I want to go ahead and lead in a prayer time. If you have prayers and concerns, please put them down. If you forgot to put it down today, go ahead and you can do it online. It goes right to Debbie, who sends it out, and we make sure that everybody gets prayer. We have, remember the old days of the prayer chain? Who's old enough to remember the prayer chain? All right, where what would happen is somebody needed a prayer, and then somebody would get on the phone, and they'd call somebody else to get on the phone, call somebody else to get on the phone, get on the phone. Then this wonderful thing called email, social media, everything's out there. And so we get it out there very quickly, and everybody gets the same time. So please sign up if you'd like to be part of the prayer chain. Christine asked for prayers for peace for the families of the 16 fallen servicemen killed in the plane crash. Sergeant Joseph Murray was a best friend of a close friend, and who's really having a hard time grieving. So we want to definitely lift them up in that tragic accident. Donna asked for prayers for Ray Caldwell for healing. Also for Bill and Catherine Reeves in healing. That's Bobby Burke's parents. And Bill is doing better and hopes to be home sometime during this week. We want to continue to lift Jordan Cole and Natalie in your prayers as well. I looked over here because that's their son-in-law who was diagnosed with leukemia. And so they're expecting their first child. Just got married. There's a lot of things going on there, so continue to lift them up in your prayers. All right? Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we come to you today. So many needs, concerns, and yes, God, we have joys. There are so many things that we have to be thankful for. And so during this time, God, we know that there are those who are struggling with illnesses and just loss. So God, just be with them. Bring them comfort in those areas of where they lost those that they love. And God, particularly, we want to go ahead and just cite those many of the soldiers who died tragically in that plane crash. And for those who love them, we see so many times about loss on the TV and on the news and everywhere that we kind of get a little bit cold to it or a little bit numb. And God,
Each life is special to you. As we talked last week, that the only thing that's keeping your son back is you, keeping Jesus back from returning is you saying, hey, there's one more who could come to know me. And so, God, although many of us are struggling to different areas in our lives, we know we have a mighty God, and we're going to lean and trust on you. And so, God, in addition to that, we want to thank you for the many blessings as we've lifted up our Haiti trip and how the response of people has been absolutely incredible. And God, you're doing what Jesus did so long ago with the loaves and fish and multiplying that and using it. And God, that's what we want to do here with every ounce of finances and the blessings that we receive from your tithe and our offerings, that will go to further your kingdom, not only here, not only pay bills and other stuff. God, we trust that you've called this church into existence. And so you're going to pay for those things, but we also just want to make an impact on the world for Christ. And so, God, during this time, I ask that you do that through the goodness of the tither and the giver, that through your gifts, that this world will come to know Jesus. It's not a lost cause because you so love this world that you gave your only son and you left it in our hands with the power and empowered by your Holy Spirit. So, God, be with us, strengthen us, and have us do your will. In Christ's name, amen.
All my Morning. Scripture this morning comes from two books in the Bible. The first is Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Then we jump to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 through 18 in the Message. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old, constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him.
All right, here we are again. Hard to believe, another Sunday. Here we are, right? Doesn't it seem like they get quicker? Anybody think they get quicker? I know the summer's gotten quicker. So I want to welcome everybody again. We are starting a new series called Close Encounters, and you've already heard that. And one of the reasons why I want to do this series is because, as we know, this kind of time, how many of you have already been on vacation, done a vacation? Anybody? May have been a staycation. Anybody do those staycations? You know what that is? That's called you put off the honey-do list for a long time, and you better get it done. Many people do staycations like that. It tends to be a time where we vacation, we go and do lots. How many are planning a vacation still? How many are praying that you win the lottery and can go on vacation for life? But summer is a combination of taking time off and vacations, and it also tends to be very hectic because everybody's schedule is off. Am I right? And with that, what I want to do, I mentioned this kind of last week. Like I said, we've got about 6 weeks until everything starts to move back into the semi-norm. You know, where we start to say that bad word, Labor Day, and then we start to say, there it goes. And we try to hold on, but it doesn't often happen. And so what I wanted to do with this is I wanted to go ahead and just kind of think, I think sometimes we can get kind of like a spiritual vacation as well. That this time we're out, we're busy, we're doing all these kind of things. And sometimes that gives us, unfortunately, we end up doing a spiritual vacation. So some of the disciplines of reading our Bible and praying and doing other things, we tend to get away from a little bit, even church, because life's hectic and we got lots of stuff, we got lots of plans. How many of you have been to a graduation party? How many have been to some other kind of picnic or party or other kind of things? How many are sloth and don't do anything and you're not sure you're even here now, okay? All right, so that's how some of us are. So the focus on this series is really not the series and the teaching, okay? That's not really what I want to focus on. You're going to hear some stuff, and I got you some blanks and things, but the focus of the series is really about something different. It's about creating environments where we can encounter the living God. And that's what I think is the main importance. Because we know everything's in here, every single word in this, and we memorize it, but we never apply it to go meet with God and connect to God. We're kind of missing the point of everything. So that's kind of what I want to do. Debbie read to us a verse that I want to go back over and look at. And this verse, I think, is really kind of cool. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses. How did he speak to him? Face to face. Now, let me see. I just want to kind of see here. Jason, do you see over there? You see anybody over there you don't know? Okay, you see some people that you don't know? Anybody over here not know Jason? Raise your hand to Jason. There's Jason. Okay, so there's some people who don't know Jason. You don't know Jason? Can you come here? Would you mind? Yeah, would you be mad? Come on. Jason, come here. Haven Church, where we bring people together, okay? So, how you doing, Jason? Okay, good. All right, come on down. You're not going to kill me, are you? She has that look. Okay, so introduce yourself.
Hi.
Okay, tell them your name. Tina. Okay, so look. Hey, everybody. Anybody know Jason? Yeah. This is Jason. Tina? Everybody know Tina? Yeah. And you guys know each other now. Why?
Yeah, we do.
Why?
Because we're friends. We introduce ourselves.
And how did you do that? Across from there?
Nope.
No, how'd you do it?
Through you.
And face to face, right? There we go. Face to face. Okay, go ahead. Have a seat. You guys can talk after church. Okay? So, all right. So what we've, what was it? Anybody else not know anybody over there? I'll do it. We'll spend all day. All right. So one of the things that we do is we often come into churches, we come into situations, and we just pass by people. I did a sermon years and years and years ago, and you know how long you've been in this church, if you remembered it, because it was in the middle school, and I talked about how we as the church were so used to being in rows. Remember this? Way to go, Lisa. Yeah. Okay. So we're used to doing things in rows, not in circles, because in circles we get to know each other. And so you guys would be totally weirded out if you came in next week and this was all big circle. You walk right out the door, grab your food and coffee and go, right? You would do that. But one of the things is we spend so much time not knowing each other, and I believe it's similar in our relationship with God. We spend so much time in a row talking about God, but we spend very few minutes and moments in being face-to-face with God to really get to know him. And so when we look at this thing, we see that Moses met God face-to-face. Many of us, the possibility of seeing God face-to-face scares the stuffing out of us, right? Because we're like, he saw that, you know? I did that thing that time like yesterday or whatever. You know, you have those things. So it's important to know, because many of us believe that God is this distant God that we sit back and you can tell me about it and we can go from here. We think of the Sunday school God who's so far removed. And yet we never have the opportunity to have this personal encounter face-to-face with God. But Moses had this relationship that he met God face-to-face as a man would speak to his friend, as Jason would speak to Tina. That's how we get to speak with God. So you may know about God. You may love and you may even appreciate God. But you may never know the intimacy of having a close encounter with the living God. And so you may say, okay, Jack, I hear you, but I ain't Moses. Look at me. I can't say, let my people go. I'm not Moses. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians, the second verse that was read to us. Look at what it says. It says, whenever, though, they turn to the face of God as Moses did, they as the church or believers, as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are. How are they? Face to face. Any Pete Townsend fans? Face to face. Okay, sorry. But what we have here, Moses went and met with God. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Moses would meet with God, and because when he would meet with God, his face was so shining bright, you can read about it, and that when he came out, the people were freaked out that Moses, he reflected God's glory. So God is shining. He's seeing God. It's reflecting. And when he's coming out, it's blinding people, and they're like, something's different about him. And said, Moses, can you tone it down a little bit? And he had to actually wear a veil over his face because the people were freaked out because they were actually seeing the presence of God on his life. So you really want to freak some people out, start to meet face-to-face with God and let God reflect in your life. That's a whole other thing that we'll talk about later. Okay, so here he goes. So we have this section. The church suddenly recognize that God is a what? Living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. In other words, we have that God removes that, is not a stone, he's not a picture, he's not a statue, he's not this image of hanging on a cloud so far removed, that God is a living presence and spirit, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized obsolete. So what it's saying there is all that stuff that we put around church, all that stuff that we put around our faith is removed, and we're free. And we're free in God. So that stuff just, boom, breaks. And I'll give you some examples. Many of us in our faith or may have been raised in a way that you're supposed to do certain things. And some of you may pray and feel like you're 8 million miles away from God, that you're just doing it because you're kind of checking off a list. I'll tell you, sometimes I've sat down to read my Bible because it might be on the one-year Bible plan online that we have linked online, or I may have one of those reading things from the Bible app or whatever, and I'm reading it, and life is so hectic, and my mind is so distracted that I'm going through, and I'm kind of like, whoo, got that check off. Whoo, give me a badge. Yeah, I did it, but I got nothing out of it. Anybody ever done that? You've been in a place, you just do it because you got, I got to do it. I got to be a good person. I got to go ahead and make sure I get it. And what Paul is saying is when we come to contact with the living God and see his face, we do it to connect to him, that all that legislation is there and it moves away. In other words, when we chase after God, a guy named Tommy Tenney wrote a great book called God Chasers. When we chase after God, I mean really chase after God. When's the last time you hunted God down? Like you said, God, I ain't getting an answer, but I'm gonna drive you crazy. You know, we are his children, and I don't know how many of you had children. But my children, when they want something, bug the stuffing out of me. Daddy, 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 ring, 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 daddy, daddy, beep, beep, bling, 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 bling. I'm like, click on, what do you want? And sometimes you say no, and then what do? Come on, as you see, and they come up with a great argument about what they should have, why they should have it. And guess what? You usually give in to shut them up. And that's what God wants us to do, to hunt after him, seek him. You know what the coolest thing is, though? Sometimes when the kid comes in and you say, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. I just thought I'd hang out with you tonight. I'm like, oh, what do you want? Right? You know? But the thing is, that's what God wants us to spend time with him. When God is personally present, that's what happens. We're free of all that stuff in life. And then look what it says. Here we go. And our faces... nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brilliant brightness of his face, and we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, like Jesus was on the transfiguration. Our lives gradually, look at that, gradually become brighter and brighter. So many of us live in a fast-paced drive-through area that we want God, and we want it now, we want it quick, and we want to have it. It says that this is a process that we have of becoming more like Christ. It's going to take a while. In other words, we got to look at our face sometimes as a crock pot rather than a microwave. You know what I mean? Like, how many of you have ever eaten fast food? What would you rather have? Fast food or something cooked slow in a crock pot? If you said fast food, we'll pray for you. Something's wrong with you. You haven't had good crock pot food, right? Where that stuff just falls off the bone, and you're like, if there's a bone in it, yeah, right? It's like, oh, it's good. And so there's something about that everything's kind of mixed in there and tastes good, and that's what we need. We need that. And we're transfigured into the face of Christ, and that's what we need. The goal of life in this series is simply these two things, to grow closer to God in relationship and to become like him. That's the goal of life and everything. So I want to tell you, when I came up with this series title, Close Encounters, I too am old enough to think of Close Encounters from the movie that had a young Richard Dreyfuss making things out of mashed potatoes. If you don't know what we're talking about, you're going to Google it and find out. And you know, that great theme where they connected and everything, and I thought about that. So I decided to go ahead and Google Close Encounters. And when I did, I found out a terminology called ufology. Anybody know? It's UFOlogy. Ufology. That it is the study of UFOs. Now, the movie was called Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right? That means there's what? One and two. Did you know that? There's two other kinds. They didn't just pull three out of the air. So a close encounter of the first kind, and real quick, how many people... I was going to ask how many people believed in UFOs, but then I figured you wouldn't admit it anyway, people would think you're really weird. I don't know about all that stuff, but here's what I do know. The first kind, close encounter of the first kind, is where a UFO, which means an unidentified flying object, is 500 feet or less, and you can tell detail, all right? A close encounter of the second kind is a physical event, where you may have something happen, like, you know how, like, on the TV shows where the electricity starts to go out and the clocks start to spin backwards? That would be a second kind. And a close encounter of the third kind is contact with a being that isn't human. Could be a robot. Could be something else. See, you guys are like, yeah. So it's kind of like you say, like, you run in and you see Starman. Anybody old enough to remember? You're like, E.T. Phil, homie. You got that? So you're like, he's there. So you might say that. Now, here's a problem. A problem is that when we have, one of the things that we find out is the people who are most believe in UFOs are the people in the third kind that really believe that they had a connection with some sort of entity that's not of this world. You guys are like, what did I come to church for? Okay, today. But the problem is this. Here's the problem. That we often, as Christians, have some of these kind of, have kind of a warped sense of our God ufology. That a lot of us have based our faith in what others have seen and others have proclaimed. Now, it's awesome that we have that. But our faith is completely based in this. And so we're based in a knowledge. And we think about that. If you haven't had contact, if you haven't had a close encounter of the third kind or the second kind or even the first kind and still believe in UFOs, you're basing it on a lot of other people, right? And if you haven't had an encounter with God personally face to face, you may be basing your faith and your relationship on something that you've never interacted with, and you're missing out on tremendous things. So what we see here is when we base that on there, it kind of is warped. And so the people who say, I have had an encounter with an alien, are those who said E.T. was in my room, he went ahead, ate my Reese's Pieces, and dressed up in a dress. But this kind of stuff. Or we have these kind of like, somebody did a weird probe, because they're always probing something. But this is kind of the stuff that we exist with. People who've had those situations, go ahead and connect to and believe in ufology. Those who believe in Christ and have had an encounter often have this powerful image. And so one of the things that we need to look at here is that you ever been someplace that you had a really good time and you start to tell somebody about it and you can see that they're kind of like being nice at first and then they say, you can see they're like really checking out, and then you say what? I guess you should have been there. I guess you had to be there, right? How many have ever said that to somebody? And usually it's like where you're telling somebody and they're like, you know, I remember one time Melissa and I went to Las Vegas for a friend of hers wedding, and then we went different places, and one place we went to was Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. How many, did you hear that? Who said, oh yeah, that's cool. How many people went to Madame Tussauds and that's why you know? And who's never been to Madame Tussauds? Doesn't it sound boring? But it's so much fun. You can pose with these. I almost put some pictures up here, but I didn't do it. You pose with like these figures, and like George Bush was going like this, and I put my chest over like he was twisting me or whatever. You know, we're having kind of things like that, and so you know, it's just weird things. I was hanging out. I grabbed hold of Marlon Brando's hand, The Godfather, like, you know, it was like I was one of the people from The Godfather, and I guess you had to be there. But I tried to be nice and tell people, and they just kind of had similar reactions like you guys did. I don't know why. But Melissa and I laughed like fools in this place, and I think the people couldn't wait for us to go because we were acting like fools in this place. And so we have these kind of situations at times where that's what we do. We go, and we're starting to tell somebody a story or like a couple hundred people in the church about the story, and they look at you like you've got three heads. But, you know, the thing is, I think a lot of times as a pastor, when I'm up here sharing something, I kind of get a look like you guys are like, and where I feel like, yeah, I don't know if they're getting this. I don't know if they're connecting here. And it happens often. I might say this, but sometimes I really believe as a pastor, instead of telling you about Jesus, I just need to take you there. You know, we need to go to Madame Tussauds together, right? And so we need to go ahead. You guys are like, yeah, I would like that now. But, you know, we just need to go to that place together where we can experience God, and I need to set that up. So what I want to do in this series, and I'm kind of setting some stuff up today, and then we're going to talk about a guy named Jacob to wrap it up. I want to create an atmosphere where you can chase God down, and it could be like the psalmist who wrote, as the deer pants for the water and streams of water, so my soul longs after you. You know, that's what I want you to be able to do. And in order to do that, I've got to kind of set up my case here, and I'm going to do that really quickly, and then we're going to wrap things up today. But what I really, really, really believe in this kind of deal, to set us up for this, we need power, not just words, in our lives. We need power, just not words. Sometimes words mean nothing and don't help heal. Sometimes words cause the negative. You ever been a place where you're hurting and you need something from God, you need God to do something, and people just talk, and they talk so much that it actually makes you more aggravated? Anybody? If you say church, you're all in trouble. But There's times where people that we get nervous and we don't know what to say, or sometimes we just need God's power over words. You know, there's been times in my life where I've gone into situations and I have absolutely no words and begin to just pray. I remember, God shows up. And you know, one of the coolest things was back in early days of ministry, when I was a pastor at a church out in Fair Hill, Morris Chapel. We had a bunch of revival services, and I think Dad did the first years. They were called Victory in Jesus, and Dad did them, and Reverend John Hobbs, many of you know him, came and did other ones. And we had music, we had preaching, and I remember in several of those meetings, that as we got together, we had the preaching, we had the singing, but it was just afterwards where God just decided to show up. And nobody was talking. There were some songs being played. I remember we had this one special group there one time called Soldiers of the Cross. They ran out of every song they had because God showed up and God was just moving and healing people and releasing people from all kinds of things. And this was going on for a couple hours in a weeknight at night, and nobody was going anywhere. And, you know, it was just God moving in a way, and we weren't saying anything much. We were just being present and allowing God to do something and to see people healed of things and see people who were struggling with temptations and other kinds just released from that presence, one after the other, after the other, after the other. There's been times when in the life and ministry of that and some other churches and other areas where we planned the worship service and had everything together, and then all of a sudden God just took it and kept going, and we ran into the service behind it. And people are like, what are we going to do? I said, we're just going to hang in here. I'm not going to tell God time's up, you know? And we just kept going into that. Sometimes what we say is good. Like, what I'm sharing with you today is good. I'm preaching pretty well today, don't you think? All right? Amen, Jack. You know, sometimes that's what, it's good. But other times, what we really need is power. We need God's power. Because if we don't have His Spirit and His power, we're just a loud gong and a clanging cymbal, and that's scriptural. You see, in 1 Corinthians, it says this. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and he said, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not wise or persuasive words. Stop. I can tell you, if the Apostle Paul wanted to show up wise and with pervasive words, persuasive words, he could have. Because according to the scripture, according to what we know about him, he was brilliant. He was learned in the top thinkers of Jewish faith and in the Roman government. He understood Greek philosophy. He was brilliant. And yet he said, I didn't come to you with what I know. But here's what he did come with. He said, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's what? Spirit's power. So why? So that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And I think many times when we take this approach to a close encounter of looking at somebody else's, we base our faith on what? On the wisdom here rather than on God's power. Okay? Tommy Tenney, the writer of God Chasers, says this. Ironically, it was the father's blessing that actually financed the prodigal son's trip away from the father's face. And it was the son's new revelation of his poverty of heart that propelled him back into his father's arms. Sometimes we use the very blessings that God gives us to finance our journey away from the centrality of Christ. It is important that we return back to ground zero, to the ultimate eternal goal of abiding with the father's intimate communion. In other words, many times God gives us blessings, and we take it, and we go further away from Him. But when we find out that we're in poverty, that we may have all this knowledge and words. I've been to seminary with people who are brilliant, got better grades than me, lots better grades than me. But when it came time to relying on the Spirit's power, they had no clue what they were talking about. They were weak and falling apart. And so that's the first one. The next one is this. We need an encounter, not just an explanation. We need an encounter, not just an explanation. I'm somebody that if you put me somewhere for a while, I try to figure things out. It's just how I'm put together. So if you put me in a room, I'm like the worst person to send on a retreat weekend, because when I'm on the retreat weekend, I'm thinking, what's coming next? If it's a Christian retreat weekend, I'm even worse, because I'm like, what do they have planned? What are they doing? What's coming next? What are they trying to get me to? So years ago, I went on what was known as an Emmaus weekend. I went on an Emmaus weekend, and I went, and I was trying to figure it out from day one. And I'm like, and they were having some speakers and doing some talks about God's grace and other kinds of stuff. And they're telling me this, and I'm still sitting here. Yeah, heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, heard that. Where are we going with this? Where are we going with this, God? I want to know, because you know I could be home doing some work. Where are we going? Where are we headed? Yeah, I don't want to waste my time. And I'm figuring this out. Until one night there was a couple things that went on, and it was just me and God. And it was in the power of that encounter with God that made me grow closer to him. It wasn't that I didn't have time with him, but it caused me to grow closer with him, not because of what I was taught, because I knew that stuff, but because I let figuring out go. I left the explanation part of it go, and I wanted to just have an encounter with God. So many times, many of us come into this room or into an area of worshiping God, or we get into a Bible study and we say, I want to know more about God. I want to know more about God. When really what we need to do is just encounter God rather than have him explain himself to us. You know, I've been married to Melissa for 21 years. And if you ask her an explanation of who I am and why I'm that way, she ain't going to be able to tell you. But she loves me because she's encountered me. And she knows me, even with the bad stuff, which is a little bit. But she still loves me that way because of that encounter. We don't need a good description at all. In other words, I've never seen a person who had an encounter with the living God that crumbled because of someone's argument, logical argument. If you've had a real encounter with God, the Apostle Paul, as he was going to, as he was on the road to Damascus, had an encounter with God. Up to that point, he had logically said, this does not work. Once he had an encounter with God, he came in contact with everybody, but it always came down to, hey, guess what? I had this encounter, and I know he's real. And so we need to open ourselves up to that encounter. Explanations never change a person's life. Encounters do. I remember one time I had an encounter on the way to Israel with Mr. Rogers in the bathroom. It's a weird statement. But Mr. Rogers was in the bathroom of New York City, wasn't he? And he came out and somebody said, that's Fred Rogers. And my dad went, where? Right there. And as soon as he came out of the bathroom, here we were. Hey, Mr. Rogers. You know? And so I got to meet Mr. Rogers. Isn't that cool? Did you meet Mr. Rogers? I guess you had to be there. All right. All right. Man, you guys are rough today. But anyway, so when we have this presence, not practice, I want to take to you, this encounter, not an explanation. One of my favorite verses, when I took Greek in grad school, in seminary, we read this in the Greek, and it was the first time that the feelings of this man. This man was born blind, and Jesus healed him. He healed him on the Sabbath, and they weren't happy about it. And so the leaders of the day were trying to figure out, why? Give me an explanation. Let me know. He even called his parents in. This is him. We don't know. That's our kid, but we're not sure how it happened. Okay? And they're going through all this stuff, and all of a sudden, they call this man in, and here's what we have here. He said, finally they turned again to the blind man and said, what do you have to say about him, meaning Jesus? And he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't have a clue. One thing I do know is I was blind and now I see. You see, people want to know, well, why do you do that? Why do you go to church all the time now? Why do you go to Haven Church? I hear that guy's weird. He takes off his clothes sometimes and he does weird things. And you say, I don't know. He is weird, but I don't know, why, but I used to hate church and now I don't. I don't know, but I used to feel like God was here, but somehow it's not. We're connected, right? I used to think that it was all about me and Jesus, but now I recognize it's about me and winning others for Christ and helping those who are less fortunate. I don't know. I'm not going to give you an explanation, but all I know is God's real to me at this point right now in my life. So that's the next one. The third one, presence more than practice. We need presence more than practice. You know, a lot of us don't think there's an order. There's a sheet that there's an order. Sometimes we let the Holy Spirit go like every week and let it do what it says. You know, some of you have been around so long, you know what's coming next. You know what I'm going to say. Sometimes you may fill out the blanks before I even get there, and that's okay. And you know, a lot of times in life, we got it all figured out, don't we? And so sometimes going back to that practice of things that we do, kind of gets through the motions. I remember, I want to see how many old church people we have here. Anybody remember anything called the Apostles' Creed? Could you do it right now if I challenge you? I believe the God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Lord. Right? Remember these? I remember that time would come in the service, everybody stand up. I believe in God the Father. He's crucified, dead, and buried. Third day, he rose from the dead in heaven. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. It was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. But the people were ripping through it like I was. No meaning. You're just doing it. Not knowing that that came from a deep place of struggle in the early church where they were trying to find out what was right of God and what Satan's influence was in the church. But it became so rote. If we're not careful, we get so much into the practice, we forget that the presence of God is here. And we need the presence of God. We go through the motions. Like I said, we go through the check it off as a list rather than going ahead and recognizing. We feel like, and we keep doing that so often, we end up doing this and doing it and doing it, and we feel like God is a million miles away. We need order and discipline. They're good things. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if this, I love this statement, alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. So what did he do with Jesus? He raised him from the dead and resurrected him. So guess what? That's what you get. And then it says here, he'll do the same thing in you, Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. And when God does what? When God does what? Lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life with his spirit living in you. Your body will be as alive as Christ. And I believe some people, that might be what you just need to hear today, that your life has been full of so much dead stuff, that so much stuff that is drawing you away from God, and you're just going and you're going through the motions and you're moving and moving and you're just kind of getting worn down, and there's a part of you that's dead and dying, and you just need God to breathe life into you. Once again, you need his presence to just breathe something new into you so that you can say, is this it? And you need the breath of life. You need God to resurrect maybe areas of your marriage. You need God to resurrect areas of your faith. You need God to resurrect areas of your relationships that you have and just breathe life into you. So it sounds good, right? And if you're like me, you say, all right, but how? How am I supposed to do this, Jack? Because a lot of times in church, we're really good about saying things but never fixing a problem. So how do I do this? You say, Jack, I'm inspired. You inspire me, but I don't have a clue how to get there. So I want to take you, in the next couple weeks, we're going to just go through some stories in the scripture of people who had close encounters with God. And today we're going to talk briefly about Jacob and God wrestling. You got to say it like that, wrestling. All right. And this is important because this is the first time in the Bible that the term face-to-face is mentioned. First time. And in seminary and school, they talk about the law of first mention, that when something's mentioned first, it's the purest form, okay? So this is the purest form. And so here's what we have, this section here. It says this in Genesis. We're going to have it up here. You can follow along. So here we have Jacob and Esau. We talked about them several months ago in the big dogs, I think. And so we have Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were twins. They weren't identical twins. We had Jacob, who was kind of a mama's boy, stayed home, kind of did that. We had Esau, who was like a rugged man. He was a mountain man. He'd hang out with Ted Nugent, all right? So that's where he was. Yeah, okay, figure that out later. Okay, but that's what he did. He hunted, he did all that kind of men, we're men. Where Jacob would say, I think I'm going to stay home and bake a cake. I don't know. He was like that. Or make mountain out of mashed potatoes. Okay, so that's kind of what he did. He just stayed home. Mom liked him best. Dad liked Esau the best. And so they didn't get along. Matter of fact, Jacob's name, Esau was born first, and Jacob's grabbing his heel, trying to pull the sucker back down and to get out, because there was something about this birthright. If you were born first, you got it all. And so he was trying to get it. So he didn't forget that. One day his brother comes in, wasn't a good hunter that day, didn't have anything. He's like, I'm starved. And I told you he baked stuff. And Jacob was there and said, I got some stew, like basically broth. I got some broth for you. He said, oh, give me some. He's like, oh, wait a second. You give me that birthright. And Esau goes, okay, I'm hungry. So he goes ahead and gives it to him. And so now he's got the firstborn birthright. And then later, one day Esau's out trying to hunt again, and his dad had no bad eyesight. His dad couldn't see. So mom says, here, put on goat skin. You know, you ever fell a goat? That's how hairy this sucker was. So they put that on his hands. They took some goatskin, put on his hands, and put on Esau's clothes. He walked in and said, "Hi, Dad. How you doing?" And he said, "Let me bless you because I'm going to die. You sound like Jacob." "No, it's me, Dad. Smell me." Okay? So he does that. Feel my arms. So he does that. And then all of a sudden, Jacob gets the blessing that was meant for Esau. Esau comes home. So where's my blessing? He said, "Sorry, gave it all right away already." Now he's ticked. And now little Jacob's like, "Eh." Mom says, "Run." He takes off running. He goes to her family. "Run, Jacob, run." Okay, so he goes there. And when he goes there, he's with a relative named Laban. Laban has some daughters. And one of them looks really, really good to him. Her name's what? Anybody know? Rachel. Rachel means a little And she has an older sister. So Jacob goes, they go through the marriage ceremony, and then it comes for the wedding night, which was what made it official. And Laban goes ahead and pushes in Leah. Now, Leah means cow. Figure that one out, okay? So they go ahead, and that became his wife. Pass that one out, all right? Jacob wakes up in the morning and says, What happened? And he says, "Well, I'll give you Rachel too. You just got to work for her for 7 more years. He's like, "All right, I'll do it." And then he takes off. So now we come to this point where he takes off. He leaves Laban. Now he's getting ready to head back, and he finds out Esau is closing in. So he does what every brave husband does. He sends all of his family and his kids to the other side of the river and stays on the other side just seeing if Esau attacks them. Good guy, right? Okay, so he goes ahead and he says, Here I am, he's alone with God. Now, here's where it picks up. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. That is how the scripture is saying an angel or the physical presence of God wrestles with him to daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, the angel says, "Okay, enough. I'm done with this. We've been doing this all night. We've been wrestling match. I had enough." He said, "Let me go." And Jacob goes, "No, I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man says, "What's your name?" He says, "It's Jacob." Don't you find this very odd? They didn't know each other, and they just start wrestling. Okay. So then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and man and have overcome." And Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." And he says, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." So what in the world does this happen to mean? Jacob is wrestling with God. And one of the things I want to tell you is when you start to seek God face to face, you're going to have a struggle. Because you've been doing it on your own for a while. You've been trying to do things on your own struggle. And so when you really want to go and do God's will and seek his face, it's going to be a battle. You're going to have a wrestling match with God. There's going to be times God say, "I want you to do this." And you're going to, "I don't think so." Get him in a headlock, right? You're going to do these kind of things. For instance, let me put it this way. I'll put it this way. Some of us have not gotten to the point of this in worship song. Right? That like, we're kind of like, we don't want to raise a hand. And scripture says, I didn't write this, lift hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Okay? So, but there's a type. Some of us need to like start off maybe with like a elbow flap, toe tap, something like that. All right? Then you can move to the carry the TV. Anybody say carry the TV? There's another one. My fish was this big. So you can go from this. My fish was the fish. You can lie about it. My fish was this big. Okay. Then you can be like, "Here, take the sandbag. Take the sandbag on. Sandbag." Right. Then you got dueling light bulbs. Right. There. You ever see anybody do this? Anybody from a hand raising church? Dueling light bulb. Okay. And so then you got goalposts. And sometimes people do heartburn with goalposts. Single, okay. Then you've got this one, Mufasa. Then you say, "Is there anything else, Jack?" Yeah, you got something to like press it up, point it out. Okay, we got those. And then some, this one usually you see females doing. Wash the windows. Right. Sometimes you wash them both of them. Karate Kid, wax on, wax off, I don't know. What. Okay. And then we all move all the way to touchdown. Right. Okay. We laugh about this, but some of us ain't like, you're like, "I want to, Jack, but you know, you're like, okay. It's because we haven't gotten to a point with an encounter really to encounter God in a really special way. Now, I know we got years of tradition. And I know God's not saying, you ain't raising your hands, I ain't giving you any blessings. But you know, hey, sometimes we just need to be free, God. Sometimes we get that feeling we want to, but we're just like, someone might see me. Because we're looking face-to-face with others rather than looking face-to-face with God. And so he touched the socket of his hip, and Jacob limped from that day on. Still today, the Jewish people won't eat from that socket because of recognition of that. And so what is this all about? I believe a lot of times God, when we're not ready to connect with him and we're not really seeing face to face, that God will allow the things around us to put us in a position of weakness. God won't cause it, but God will put us in a position so that when we're weak, he can be made strong. Because look at what Jacob said. Jacob says, bless me. And this blessing here doesn't mean like give me money, give me food. He says, it means an internal joy. Because see, Jacob had all this stuff, but he didn't have it in here. He had seen God on the ladder from heaven, but he didn't have a peace and a joy that was in here. He says, what's your name? He said, I ain't telling you. You don't need that. You just need what I'm going to give you. There's three things that I want to wrap up very quickly with here. And you're like, oh my gosh, no, they're going to be very quick. Three things that I want to close this wrestling encounter with that we learn and that we need to do in order to have this close encounter. The first thing is we need a new strength. You need to give up sometimes on our own efforts and struggles and just hold on to God like Jacob did. Just hold on to him. Say, no, I'm just going to hold on to you, God. I need a new strength. Look at what it says in Isaiah. You have it in your bulletin. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. You ever seen a little kid that exhausts you as they're running around? They're running around, and they exhaust you to death. But when they stop and they're tired, what do? Bam, they drop and they're out. Even they grow weary and tired. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings as what, Lisa? Eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We talked about eagles last week. Eagles, they do that flapping and they soar. Soar. They have that thermal wind that they find and they soar. And the other birds. Right? What do you want to be? An eagle? Or a lot of us are like sparrows. Some of us are like woodpeckers. You know? That's going to be one online that's going to be fun this week. When we have the wind of God's Spirit, when God breathes life and we have the Spirit has lifting our wings, we just get to cruise around. And we're looking at all the others. So many times we've been like in our faith and we're tired. We're tired. An eagle can stay up there all day doing that if he's under the right winds. And you can just soar every day on the wind of the Spirit rather than trying to keep it up yourself. You need him because you're weak. You need to soar with him. Number two, we get a new identity. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So here's our first prayer is this. God, I give up. I need you. Number two is, change me. Change me into who you want me to be. I need more of you and less of me. I need a new identity in my life. In Isaiah 43, look at what it says here. You may have situations in your life and you may be telling yourself, I can't. God, you don't know what I've done. You don't know who I am. And listen to what he says. It says here, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. You see, so many times we dwell on where we've been and what we've done and the bad that we've done and the bad that we've experienced that we don't think about what this next section is. It says, see, I am doing a what? New thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God wants to take the areas of the wasteland of your life and bring new life to them. And I put a verse there about Revelation, which says that you get a new name. Isn't that awesome? New body, new name. That's awesome. And number three, bless me. I get a new joy. I need a new joy. Some of us will go through life this, and we've been through literal hell, or we're just experiencing it, or we're still there right now, and we say, how you doing? I'm okay. It's all good. It's okay. Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. But really what you need is a new inner joy. that's in here. I don't know what it is, but in here there's just hurt. There's that death that's in here, that pain, that suffering that's just in your life. And you say to God, I need something new. I need a new joy. Psalm 16, 11 says, you have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your what? You find joy only in the presence of God. So guess what? We got to see him face to face with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It's the start of our series, and we're going to pick up next week, but let me just go ahead and pray right now. Lord God, as we come here today, and we're just kind of figuring this stuff out to begin this new series, God, I pray that you will give us, that we will get to the point where we want to seek you, that we recognize that we need power and not words, that we need an encounter and not just an explanation, that we need your presence and not just the practice of the faith. So many of us are weak and we need a new strength. We got to quit flapping around like a bunch of little birds and go ahead and soar like eagles. Some of us need a new identity because our life before people know us or we know ourselves and we know the things that we've done. But with God, we got to go ahead and stop and say, hey, I need you. And I need something new in my life. And he says, hey, I am making everything new in your life. And ultimately, God, there's so many of us that may have taken the step, but because of life and because of maybe even because of our past or what maybe because of our present, that we don't have joy. That internal joy that goes beyond all things, that blessing that we need from you. So, Lord, right now I'm just going to go ahead and lift you up and get me out of the way. Whatever anybody needs, whether they need to come to a saving faith through grace, that undeserved favor and love that you give through your son Jesus, they've never ever taken that commitment to say, hey, I need a savior and you're it. But they just, where they are right now, God, just say, I ain't got it all figured out, God, but I'm tired. I'm tired of wrestling. I'm tired of my arms just flapping around. And I just need you. I'm hearing about who you are and your presence, but I need you to be real to me. And as the scripture says, that veil just be torn away, and I need to see the face of Jesus. But it takes me turning and looking to your direction. So I'm going to make a commitment here today to do so. And if I'm somebody who one time saw your face and I've just been going through the motions of Christian faith, and I've just been, my faith has been based off of others' face-to-face and close encounters with you, and my emotion is just breaking and I can't feel you or see you or experience you, and I'm praying and I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm praying and I'm singing and I'm praying and there's nothing. Help me chase you down, God. That you would chase me back and be like that prodigal son, that you just wrap your loving arms around me as the father. God, this time is yours. As we stand to sing this last song, God, minister to our hearts. We have people up here to pray with you. We can pray where we are. Whatever it is, God, minister to us in your name and give us new strength, new identity, and new joy. In your name, amen. Please stand.
You know, we don't have to go search for God because the Bible says where two or more are gathered, he's here. So he's here right now in this place. All you have to do is seek him. So I want you all to just open up your hearts and sing with me this chorus that you know already. Okay? So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. All that I am, a place into your loving hands, and I am.
your truth, knowing that your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice, 'cause you say,
thank you.
Again, hear that song without thinking of Lauren Thomas. That was her favorite song that we sang in church. And she's been singing it for a while in heaven. That's awesome. So have an awesome week in Jesus, number one. But I hope that you have a close encounter. Oh, he left me. All right. Hope you have a close encounter with God this week. There you go. Father, Son, and Ghost. Okay, there we go. But I hope you have a close encounter with God that it's not just because, but that you can really come to know him more intimately. And you can practice dueling light bulbs all week. So next week you come in, you can go touchdown, wash the windows, all that good stuff. All right, have an awesome week. Next week, here we go. Next week, burning encounter. So we're going to go ahead and have that one. See ya. Have a good one.